This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Year, okay, it shouldn't be, we feel like, but I just think it would be useful at this point. Hearing it from Kleiman's one thing. But if your general manager is making just as many mistakes as the coaches, well, then the voice above him needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what is appropriate and what's not, because they clearly have their pecking order.
He's working on lease right now anyway. Right?
Yeah.
That's the main thing for him. He, you know, am I going to stay in Memphis? Have y'all gotten everything I need yet?
Yeah.
You know, give me control of Beal.
Yeah. Anyway, it's quite the time, but, Ja Morant, top story, with the celebration. Again, it's not a grenade. It's not a grenade. It's just a package of words that Ja's throwing out.
And you didn't believe that 2 days ago. Now you're selling it.
It's not a
grenade. Y'all got the mandate, huh? The email. Company email came down.
It's not a grenade, bro.
Michael Wallace said Ja told him that.
Yeah, it's not. Well, because it's not a grenade. It's not.
But why hasn't Ja told The Athletic and everybody else writing about it then?
We don't have to explain ourselves to everybody.
Just to the in-house.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll get the word out.
I mean, look, if you guys are going to twist and say whatever you want anyway.
True.
No matter what we say.
Ja's right about that, and he's been saying that all year.
So, why am I even going to spend much energy trying to convince y'all what it is, what it ain't, what it's going to be? Like, you're going to say what you feel it is anyway. You're going to say it's a nuclear, ICBM missile. It's a, fat man, little boy. It's a grenade. It's a, who cares? It doesn't, you guys are going to say what it is anyway with the media machine. So, I'm going to keep doing it, for me. And the crowd loves it. The crowd's into it. We haven't got you yet on board. We're going to keep working on it.
Remember Manziel with the money?
We're not. Oh,
I remember that one.
Yes.
I remember goggles.
I like the grenade, though. It's not a grenade, but I like the,
Even his own representation can't keep it straight.
Again, it doesn't matter what I say it is. It's like a Rorschach. It's like, it's like a, this is what it, what do you think?
What do you see?
Right. What do you see? That's what's important is that you guys, because it's going to be up to you guys' interpretation regardless anyway, the way y'all do things around here. Y'all victimize and target. So,
well, he has been targeted.
I would just sit back and enjoy, bro. Sit back and enjoy the ride, man. Good stuff. I've enjoyed this. I have enjoyed this.
You've enjoyed this being part of the news cycle?
Yeah, I actually have. Yeah. Because to me, it's like a big double bird to everybody. Come find me again. Come do it, League. Come do it, Adam. Don't have a grenade problem in the United States of America, so y'all can't come at me over that. I get why you got a problem with the gun thing. I understand that. We have an epidemic of guns in this country, but we don't have like a grenade problem. Now, again, if there was a situation that arose that there was like a bombing, he would not be able to do that anymore without, like, there would be a talking to. But right now, it's been a while. So
I don't know who can talk to Ja in that organization.
All right, we'll come back. Parthu Pajja is going to join us. We'll talk transfer portal with him, what the Tigers are doing, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be your best friend. It's a very wild time right now. Doesn't mean it's a bad time. It just means it's different. And you need a team that can help you find the home of your dreams. And if you're selling, help you make the most money for your home. They can do that. That's what they do every single day, high, low, in between every situation. They've seen it. So reach out to Jennifer and her team. SoldToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Yep, you need, John's right, you need the proper guidance through these times, especially when it comes to getting the most money for your home in this market and when it comes to finding the next one, right, so that you're set up in a good situation. As Jennifer has done for us, we were in a bad one. She got us out of it, and she put us in a great one. So she has greatly impacted our life, and that's what a good agent can do for you if they're really in it for all the right reasons, and Jennifer is. She wants to improve Memphis. You do that by getting folks out of renting situations, one of the ways you do it, and into home ownership situations. So if there's a good way to home ownership, a good path for you that's going to be good for you when you get there, Jennifer will get you there. She'll do it simply. You'll understand everything. You'll be in better shape. Got to get in the game, the home owning game, 901-625-5200. She's got all the answers to your questions. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
We've been talking so much, man, over the last few months about these cameras, and it seems like they're so close to coming online, Jason. It really does. Are you excited?
Again, you don't want to oversell here. Yeah. This is just for promos as opposed to like a simulcast.
That's what they're telling us. Right. You never know.
So don't let it affect your work. You know, it doesn't sound like it's going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of these promos. What those look like.
Come on, man. You're used to being on camera. We see your Field of 68 stuff all the time. You were a man that does very well in front of the camera.
It's not new for me.
Exactly.
It's just.
So this should be like old hat to you.
You don't even feel they're there, really. I mean, you just kind of, you know, whatever.
They'll shepherd us through.
They're more of like an aerial, you know, situation. It's not much to look at, folks. I'll be honest. We're just sitting here talking. You know, although it would have been electrifying to watch when we walked out on each other. That would have been electric footage.
Or the day I did the Sling of Jaw, and I'll do it again.
Because
it was ridiculed. But that day, there was a visual.
Yeah, there was.
That Darian didn't need, but it was there.
Yeah, you don't forget, do you? You forget, but you don't forget.
Names.
I mean, Darian, you really crossed that man that day. He said he'd...
Oh, we're fine. We're his favorite show here. We love Darian.
No, but he had to basically make it right with you before you got him back on your nice list. You know,
there is no nice or naughty list with me. That's Santa, as you know, and I'm not Black Santa.
Oh man, Parthu Pajja is going to join us at 1:25, and we'll talk to him obviously about what the Memphis Tigers do. They got some visits coming up. They got some guys they're involved with. Are you excited? Can you feel the buzz?
I'm kind of excited to see what Penny gets in here. You know, I'm feeling good off the Pivot podcast.
Well, so you watched it?
I saw parts of it. I saw the trailer, and I have not been able to watch the whole thing.
All right. And
But they came to Memphis, clearly, and they caught.
Oh, they did. They came to Memphis.
Yeah, it looked to me like they'd come to Memphis to do it in the Memphis basketball facility.
Okay.
Could be wrong. That was what it looked like. Again, I didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be quickly corrected if that's the case. But no, but they caught him on a good day, man. I don't know. We've seen it where Penny if it's with Zach Randolph and Bonzi Wells, or if it's with anybody, any of his NBA brethren, you get a different side of him. You get an opened up side. He's always transparent. We say that when he's talking to us. But, you know, when he's talking about that NBA life, you know, filming blue chips, you just get, the stories. That he doesn't tell the media necessarily, or hasn't told us in Memphis. You're getting that version of Penny that for so long we were watching from afar because he was doing it in Orlando. So it's fascinating, and it's coming out. I think you have the right guys: Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and it's our boy Channing Crowder. Right? We used to have on the show, didn't we? Used to have Channing. What are you, an Odyssey insider at one point or something like that? But it's a great combination of guys. That whether it's with him, whether it's with your boy Jamarcus Russell, remember how opened up they had him. They really do a good job, and I think Ryan's really good, has gotten really good at what he does. The former Steelers DB that's on ESPN, But I think it's that combination of guys and the fun they have that helps lead to interviews that you want to watch, sit down, and, you know, you're willing to dedicate a part of your day to.
Yeah, no, it's a long one.
Part of your day to. But, so, yeah, they're, Channing messing with him about his acting, Penny's acting in Blue Chips, and the laugh that it gets, that it draws out of Penny, is just worth the watch alone.
Yeah, that's really the goal right there, isn't it? That's the holy grail.
Yeah, you get your, you know, your interview subject feeling like that, man.
But it's not just an interview subject. It's Penny. If you can get a laugh out of Penny, it's like
Fred Taylor comes with, you know, Penny, I consider myself the Penny Hardaway of the NFL, and they what you just did, freaking Ryan Clark and Shannon Starr, they knew he was gonna bring it and say it in front of Penny, but that it was like. It was Fred Taylor, who was this great NFL running back for this shortened time period. Me and King George were looking at his numbers the other day. Him and Maurice Jones.
Yeah, he had a good career.
Good little short careers with the
Penny.
Jags.
He wasn't Penny, though.
Well, his point is that it would have been better if not for the injury.
Yeah, maybe so.
But I think we looked it up, and he only made second-team All-Pro.
Yeah.
Never a first-team, if I'm not mistaken. And Penny was first-team All-NBA. So Fred is a little bit of a stretch, Fred.
Yeah, Like, who would be the Penny Hardaway of the NFL?
Gale Sayers.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
But Gale's in the Hall of Fame. I think for the six or seven than he was in the league. There's probably a better answer than Gale Sayers. Probably is. That's a good place to sort of start.
Yeah.
Had it cut. He retired quickly.
I mean, Bo Jackson.
Bo is a good one.
Because he became like a cult hero.
But
like,
he's still going to the Hall of Fame. It needs to be somebody that whose career,
that's not
because it got cut short,
might
cost them that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, we think Penny's still going to get in and be that. But right now, it's kept him out.
What about like a Sterling Sharp? Was he good enough?
Didn't he just get in?
Oh, he did get in.
He just got in.
Damn, you're right.
But would have been along those lines because I think it was a neck, it was vertebra, it was a back that kind of shortened him up. I like your Bo Jackson. Penny's going to get in eventually.
You think?
But right now, we know that's part of what's holding him out. He would have already been in because he was a first-team All-NBA guy twice. Those guys get in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He's not because of the injuries.
A lot of people, I'm just like looking up NFL guys who had their careers cut short to injury. Do you remember Greg Cook?
No, off the top of my head.
He got drafted fifth overall by the Bengals.
Oh, I got one. No, I don't remember him at all.
He played in like the 70s, 60s and 70s.
Yeah, you know, no, I don't remember. How about this one? Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Todd, you know, the only thing I say is he did, well, I guess Penny had a long career too. He was the NFL Offensive Player of the Year, two-time first-team All-Pro.
He was two-time first-team All-Pro.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I like that better than Fred Taylor.
Three-time Pro Bowl. And then I don't remember when the injury happened, but I mean, he only played five seasons. Is that possible?
Yes, bro. Injuries. Remember, he was jumping over people.
Yeah, he was. And the Rams just ran him into the ground. That's what it was.
That's my best. I like Todd Gurley as the Penny Hardaway of the NFL.
2018, man had 21 touchdowns. That's crazy.
You said two first-team All-Pros?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, I don't know.
He's not going to get in the Hall.
You know, yeah, I don't.
Penny eventually will.
He first team All Pro is convincing, but like, you know, his yards per carry, it just fell off so fast because he went from 4.9 in 2018, which was his best year, to the next year he was 3.8. I mean, it just fell off so quickly.
Yeah.
For him. I don't think Ty Gurley's a bad one, but he has no prayer of going to the Hall of Fame.
He's closer to being the Penny Hardaway of the NFL than Fred Taylor is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There might be some others. Yeah. I like your Bo Jackson, I think Penny's eventually going to get in.
But Bo is in the Hall of Fame?
Is he not?
I don't know. I assume he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Huh.
I don't think he's in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Well, then Bo Jackson might be the best one.
But Bo Jackson doesn't have first-team All-Pro. He has Pro Bowl. He won the Heisman.
He didn't have a second-team All-Pro either?
Nope.
That's kind of hard to believe.
Not, if he does, it's not coming up in his career highlights and awards.
No, you're right. I would have been good and wrong assuming that Bo Jackson was in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You're right. Only
he's in the like pop culture Hall of Fame, obviously, you know. But he only played 4 years in the NFL.
That's it. But Penny played too long.
Yeah, Bo Jackson.
Much longer.
Bo Jackson wasn't nearly as good in the NFL as Penny was in the NBA. So, while there are similarities in terms of cult hero.
I'd have told you Bo had at least a second team All-Pro or first team. I'd have been wrong, too.
Dude, his best year, he only had 950 yards. I mean, he did average 5.5 a carry, but still. Yeah, kind of.
Was there another running back? Did y'all have another running back at the time?
It wouldn't have been Marcus Allen, would it have been? Late 80s? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that coincided.
An older Marcus Allen?
Yeah.
Because if he's only running for 900-something yards, you're not giving it on 5-something a carry.
Yeah, we had Marcus Allen.
You were giving it to, you were giving it to somebody else, too. Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember they were both in the backfield on Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. Yep. Damn.
So he could have rushed for 1,600, 1,800 yards.
What a backfield. Yeah, Marcus Allen was there the whole time.
Thought so.
87 to 90. Although in 89, he got hurt, it looks like.
Yeah, it was a down year. That was a downside. That was when it done for him.
Yeah.
Because he kind of was the new OJ when he started.
Marcus Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he went to the damn Chiefs. You know? It's hard for me to forgive you. Like, I know he had, like, the numbers and stuff, but I don't just regard him as that Raider legend because he went to the Chiefs after he left us. I'm like,
oh, bro, he's a Raider legend.
Sorry, bro, you left
one of Al's favorites right there, bro.
You can't go to the division rival, though, man. Like, you got to go somewhere else. And he was actually pretty good with the division rival, actually. He had 11 touchdowns his last year in 97.
Bit.
So, all right, we'll come back. Part of the podcast is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis's work in the portal, who's coming in for visits, what's this team going to look like, PJ Haggerty, and more. Jason and John, Detroit FM, ESPN. Part of the podcast covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphis. He joins us every single Friday. And it is still, you know, very much the season because they have to field a roster. Penny Hardaway has to field a roster for next year. I want to start because they're going to be busy this weekend. They have some players coming in.
Yes.
But I want to start with something else, which is the bigger picture about NIL. I wrote a piece yesterday over at the Daily Memphian about the NIL situation with Memphis basketball and just how much revenue sharing has potentially changed this. You saw the tweet from Travis Branham that there are at least 8 schools that are going to have NIL budgets of $10 million.
$10 million's insane.
And then Goodman came over the top and said it's going to be closer to 15. So 15 schools in the country with $10 million budgets now thanks to RevShare. What is your understanding of Memphis basketball's NIL situation with RevShare and how it compares to what they did last year?
Yeah, I think, and obviously this kind of builds upon your reporting in that column that you put out yesterday, but just from conversations I've had, it seems like there are certain individuals, maybe it's not everybody, but certain folks at least within the Memphis Athletic Department that feel like because revenue sharing is going to be a thing, as long as this thing passes, you know, by July 1st or whatever, the House versus NCAA settlement, that there should be less of an emphasis, or certainly a dwindled emphasis, on the collective and the work that Bluff City Collective and other collectives are doing to raise money for the basketball program. But, you know, John, you and I talked about it kind of off air, that if you're Memphis, if you're not a part of the elite, if you're not a part of that Power Four that's getting that $20.5 million, and right now we don't know, right? We don't know what AAC schools are going to get.
It ain't going to be $20.5 million.
But it ain't going to be $20.5 million, exactly. It's probably going to be considerably less.
What was the minimum they set? Like $3 million or something?
Per year.
$10 million. Yeah, it was $3 million.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
That's pitiful.
Because it's 10 over 3.
Right. 10 over 3.
The point being, if you're part of the have-nots, right, which Memphis is part of the have-nots in this equation.
Oh, yeah, currently.
Then you should be putting even more of an emphasis on your collective to bridge that gap so you can be on a level playing field with some of those schools. Maybe you don't get to that 10 million mark, but maybe you get to the 7, 8, you know, that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But to look at this any differently and to see or to think that the collective's work is any less meaningful or less important because of this new era of college athletics would be short-sighted.
Well, so like just again, I don't, you know, this is all sort of in some ways speculative, in other ways not. But if Memphis had just maintained its NIL budget of last year, which I believe you and I both believe to be around $4.5 million.
$4.5 to $5.5 million, somewhere in that range.
$5.5 million would be on the higher end for
sure
from what I heard, but let's just split the middle and call it $5 million if you'd like. So if we say it was $5 million a year ago,
mm-hmm.
RevShare starts, let's just we're going to do some back of envelope math. Let's say Memphis comes in at half of $20.5 million.
Okay.
Let's say that they are going to devote
10.25, right?
Whatever. Right. Let's say they're going to devote, like other schools are doing, 20%-ish, you know, to basketball.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that would put us at about $2 million in rev share, maybe a little more, give or take. So that would take
us. We can
us,
even round up, and it's sure. still not going to check out. The math ain't going math still.
But it would still be a budget of about $7 to $7.5 million, which is not 10, but it's very competitive. It's
Absolutely.
Very competitive nationally.
Yeah.
You would still be among, I think, the top
25.
Third.
Top 25?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be top 25, but point is like you could get meetings with the big time players and you could make
For
some
sure.
decisions
For
and
sure.
you could probably maybe even keep a PJ Haggerty. But
and maybe a Dane Danger, long shot there with the case we know, but
right.
maybe.
But I think, as you and I both know, that is not how they're operating over there with basketball this year.
At least not right now.
Yeah.
That's not. You know, like I said, based on the conversations I've had, and it seems like based on the ones you've had,
yeah,
obviously,
I've heard it's
as well.
Less. They're getting less, you know.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
I
think it's crazy.
And it's crazy even more so, and you guys talked about it on the air yesterday, because of we're coming off the heels of, you know, Penny Hardaway's best season, right? Mm-hmm. Finally, he doesn't get you over that hump of the Sweet 16, but he gets you over the hump of doing things that hadn't been done around here in over a decade, right? Which is getting a top six seed in the NCAA tournament, which is winning a regular season conference title. He won another conference tournament title. He produced a consensus All-American for the first time since 2008 when Chris Douglas Roberts, you know, earned that honor. So to end all these droughts and to finally see kind of this vision that Penny put out there when he took the job in 2018 come to fruition, but to then pump the brakes on the resources you're giving the guy, that makes no sense to me.
I hate that. Again, I'm sure Memphis would have some rationalization for it. They'd have some justification. But, like, you're not going 10-3 against quad ones anymore. I mean, you're just not. You're going to get outgunned.
Not with the numbers
that
they're playing with right now. No,
yeah,
absolutely
not. You know, and maybe they're fine with just saying, hey, we'll be the top spinner in the AAC, we'll win our conference, and that's enough for us. But I think even that's going to be, you know, difficult to do because – again, your access to the player pool is going to be significantly different.
What's also crazy is, and I'm sure you know y'all have heard the same thing, that Memphis is not easing up by any means in terms of its aggression to schedule in the non-conference, right? They're still gunning. They can't afford to. So they're still gunning for the most marquee matchups. Last year, they were fourth in non-con strength of schedule per KenPom. Yeah. They're trying to be in that neighborhood again, that top 10, top 15 at least neighborhood, in order to make up ground for the league they play in, quite frankly. Well, if you're making up ground for the league you play in with your scheduling, but your resources don't allow you to even, you know, like you said, compete to that level to even be 10-3, to be 9-4, whatever it may be, then what's the point, right? What's the point of shooting for the stars in terms of scheduling? You're kind of hurting yourself more than you are helping yourself in that case.
What's the, and I'm with you, that you have to keep the non-conference schedule jacked up to offset the lack of opportunities in your conference. And so what do you think, what are you doing, who are they talking to, do we think, I mean, who are some of the possibilities, because you have to replace Clemson in Virginia?
Yeah, we could just start with the games they have, right? So that'd be
Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State on the road, second half of home and home series that they started last year. UNLV and San Francisco.
Coming here.
Coming to Memphis, coming to FedEx Forum, right. Which is also the second half of a home and home. So that's four games right there. I know they're looking to get into an MTE again over the Thanksgiving-ish calendar mark sometime in November.
Which ones are left? Good grief.
There's a few that haven't been announced yet.
Okay.
Because
most of them think, I mean, why are they not in the players era? Get in the players era. That's where all the big-time schools are going.
Well, that's what I kind of...
Is that the Vegas one?
Yes.
That's the NIL
Did
Vegas one.
Did you see the Bahamas thing? Like,
oh, it's
how
a, it's
bad
a joke.
It is?
Dude, nobody's playing
the
in
The best
anymore.
Team in that Battle for Atlantis field is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Well, St. Mary's. Or Vanderbilt, whichever one. But that's still
but
a
like,
joke, right?
Like,
those are your headliners.
Nobody
on,
wants
man.
To play in Maui because they don't make money. Nobody wants to play in Battle for Atlantis because they don't make money. You make money in the players
going to
era.
Vegas.
You know, so
everybody's trying to get
yeah,
out
bro,
there.
Yeah, bro. They're expanding the field. Like, Memphis has to get in the players era. If
it's
going to
be 32, not this season, but next
yes,
season, right?
If you can't be one of the 32s, like, I don't even know what to tell you. Mm. I mean, you better be.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. Like, I mean, because that's just the wave now. It's the new Maui. And because you can make, I don't remember what the numbers were in NIL.
It was something massive. I don't remember either.
It was like
my
500
head.
Grand in NIL or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that number's going to go up when they have 32 teams.
Uh huh.
You got to find a way to get in that. That needs to be their only priority for 2026 is making sure they get in that field.
Penny's talking about any chance to get Louisville or in Arkansas.
Yeah. So Louisville, it's funny, Penny had mentioned it for, I think, as long as I've been on this beat.
Right? Yeah, right? Penny's
mentioned Louisville. Penny's mentioned Arkansas. And when Cal was at Kentucky, Penny had mentioned Kentucky very openly from the time I've been on this beat in 2022, if not even further back than that. But last offseason, you saw Louisville kind of echo the same sentiment. I'm blanking on the assistant coach's name, but there was an assistant coach over there that went on some local radio show or podcast and was talking about that discussions had already been in the works. This is, I don't know, last June, so June of 2024, to starting a home-and-home series with Memphis that would begin this season. So we haven't heard anything on that front yet, but that could be in the works. Penny's mentioned openly Duke, you know, that'd be right, huge, right? You get Duke on the freaking schedule. So yeah, they've got four games. I believe it's four: UNLV, San Francisco, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss in there now. Locked there's 13 now. Spots to fill, so that's nine more to go. You get an MTE, that'll be two or three games right there. And then, like we said, we're mentioning some of the biggest brands in college basketball with Louisville and Duke and others. So it's going to be if things go as planned, as to their plan, it's going to be another brutal non-conference slate. And like we're talking about right now, you would just hope that they have the horses to line up, you know,
right,
in those games.
Speaking of horses, busy weekend. So far, just one guy committed with Division I experience. I know they're bringing in
Felipe Patino. Daniel Vieira Tuck, DVT.
DVT. Yes, sir. They're hoping to get back Dante Harris, right?
Correct.
Okay, so. Correct.
He hasn't publicly announced anything yet. Right. Dante Harris, PJ Haggerty, obviously, and then Buna Kibe, who is a junior college transfer, of course.
Let's start with PJ Haggerty.
Sure.
Because he is the horse. What is your understanding of the latest with him?
Yeah, it sounds like people on the Memphis side are fully expecting him to go through at least the draft process, which, I mean, he'd be silly not to, right, get that feedback. Yeah. Of course, he's not on any mocks that I've seen in terms of first-round grades or anything like that, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to go through that process, get your evaluation, and then come back to college and work on those things in particular to be in that mix next season. So I think Memphis expects him to do that. But something to look out for in particular is that transfer portal deadline, right, which is coming up. I believe it's the top of my head. I think it's the 22nd of April, we're less than 2 weeks out now from that mark. He hasn't entered the portal yet, right? Like, that hasn't been reported. It hasn't been surfaced, nothing like that. But I think if that date passes, obviously, and you don't hear PJ Haggerty or you don't see PJ Haggerty in the transfer portal, you got to feel pretty good about your chances if you're Memphis to get him back.
Expecting to hear, you know, what I think he's going to hear from the NBA, that look at your size, you're going to have to be able to play on ball and show us that, not just direct the team, but not turn the ball over. I'm just saying, if the NBA tells him we want to see more of you at point guard, and he comes back to college, and Penny Hardaway is a point guard, and we know he can go to point guard you and everything. My point on this question is, in terms of what you're seeking, do you expect, and again, this is going to be a guess, but hopefully an edge game, do you expect them, looking at the guys that they're looking at, to have a Tyrese Hunter type that's also going to split time on the ball? Or are you expecting an adjustment to PJ being more on it and I'm putting shooters around him now?
Yeah, from everything I had heard at the beginning of the offseason, at least, it was the first one, right? Like, they saw how well that worked with having a kind of a true point guard next to PJ Haggerty to alleviate some of that load. That doesn't mean PJ Haggerty can't initiate the offense or that he can't be the point guard, but you're seeing this across the board in college sports or college basketball now for years, right? Like, these two point guard systems that are so effective come March.
Right.
Having two guys who can kind of run the show for you. So that's what I had heard at the beginning of the offseason. But some of these names that have surfaced, you've seen more, obviously, more wings and, you know, more kind of spot up shooters than anything else right now.
Yep.
And, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I'm not sure if that's because Memphis is being priced out of the elite guards or if Memphis has just struck out. I know they had made calls to, you know, Jacoby Gillespie, who obviously transferred from Maryland to Tennessee.
Any idea what he got?
It's something massive. It was reported. I think it was Norlander that put it out there earlier this week. I want to say it was pushing three, if not three. I'll have to go back and look. But
I mean, it makes sense. He was a power five starter on a Sweet 16 team.
Big bag. It was a big bag.
Retain PJ
too. Duke Miles, though, from Oklahoma, you know, the Oklahoma transfer who committed to Virginia, he just decommitted maybe like an hour ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know. Memphis was definitely in the mix there trying to schedule a visit. So maybe that does come to fruition in terms of at least getting the guy on campus. But we'll see.
Yeah, these numbers are crazy. They really are. I mean, when you like when you can when it makes more sense for you to go back to school than it does to go to the NBA draft and be a first round pick. And you know these numbers have just gone out of whack.
Is Penny the GM?
They need to hire a GM.
Well, they were going to last year. Remember, they were going to hire Tony Harvey. And it ended up happening.
And I guess it fell through for whatever reason. I'm not sure why it fell through.
But they were going to.
But they could use it. I mean, that's what.
And they should have, because you know
when you have to get this many.
He had important connections around the university, but.
You need a fundraiser, right? Like, and I don't think that's the head coach's responsibility. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's Penny Hardaway's responsibility.
It is, but Penny doesn't want to do that.
You think it is, though? Like, you think that's on him to go out there and rah-rah and...
Ultimately, yes.
And pass around that bucket?
Day-to-day, no. But ultimately, yes.
I think he should be tasked with coaching the basketball team, right?
Well, there's no coaching right now. So, I mean, do I think that the coach needs to show his face at those types of things? And yes, be the big voice, of course. Do I think he needs to do it during the season?
Of course not. That'd be crazy.
But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, this is part of the job now. I mean, all these guys are doing it. You got to take those calls. You got to ask. Everybody's doing it, bro.
I mean, no. And I think it's tough. And like you said, it more and more we see, I guess, coaches are being tasked to do it. But not everybody's a Will Wade, right? Not everybody's that kind of personality where they're going out and comfortable in that role. Obviously, Penny may have to become more comfortable in that space. But it would be nice to get some assistance or to get somebody in there in that GM role to kind of show him the blueprint on how to do those things.
Yeah. Is it my picked up Stansberry?
No, he was trying to get the UNLV job.
Ah, so he wouldn't take an assistant job right now because he's trying to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no head job for him to get right now. Right. So
once UNLV,
he's still in Memphis, is he not?
I'm imagining so.
Who's that?
Stansberry. Oh, still be in here. Memphis? There'd be no reason to have moved yet.
I have no idea. I haven't checked in. I don't know. Taylor Jenkins is still here. I know that. Only because you told me he was at the donut shop.
That's what Jeff said.
What, Gibson's?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It was at Gibson's.
But yeah.
Telling this story.
I don't know. I do not know. So, yeah, it's an interesting time, man, over at the University of Memphis. And so who do you think would be, if you had to sort of say, like, who's the next one to pop for the Tigers?
Yeah, so this weekend, obviously I've confirmed that Julius Thedford, who is a Memphis native, Western Kentucky,
yep.
Transfer point guard. We're talking about point guard, right? That's a point guard. Is going to be on campus, as well as Zachary Davis, you know, the wing from South Carolina, the defensive-minded wing, if you will, from the Gamecocks, landed in town late last night. His visit has started today. It's going to continue till tomorrow. So those two could be likely candidates. Chris Bell, I know they were optimistic about getting that thing done.
Yeah.
But once again, this thing, you know, recruiting's fluid. We've heard that statement. Yes. It's like a truly Donovan line, right?
Yeah.
But it's never been more true than it is right now, right?
Yeah, multiple guys have, like, committed and then signed elsewhere.
In the span of 12 hours,
yeah,
guys have done that.
Totally.
It's just insane. So even when you hear from a side that, oh, we're optimistic or we feel good, you just don't know, right?
Yep.
But Chris Bell, I think you even referenced him in your column or either that or on the radio. You know, Seton Hall kind of got in the mix. They've got a lot of money. We know that. So I think it's going to be a matter of, you know, what Memphis can get done, both in the financial regard and what role, right, that the two sides can agree on with that kind of player.
Is there any road where what PJ's asking is too high and you're better served to spend the money, you know, spread it out, I guess, you know, spend it more efficiently? You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You see what I'm saying? Rather than give it all to him and then you've literally got a bunch of role guys that aren't going to, you know, add up to a good team. Is there a point where moving off of him is the greater good?
Man, that'd be so hard to stomach, would it not?
I mean, like, it's a second team AP All-American. They don't grow on trees. Yeah, I realize what I'm asking, but with the price now getting so high, and if it's going to eat up so much of your budget, do you not get to a simple math question at some point if he stays, you know, between I'm staying on $4 million. You know, is there not in a road where you have to, maybe it's like Tennessee with Nico, where you say, we can't do this because of what we got.
And I think if things, some of this is speculation, some of this is conversations and everything else that I've had, but if things stay where they are now in terms of resources, if they stay like kind of status quo, then Memphis may not have a choice, right?
Right.
But to say, hey, this is what we can do for you. You know, I'm sorry.
I think that's where they are.
That would really, really suck. Let's make that clear.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
from everything y'all are saying about what's going on with NIL and what's going to be there, by the time it's go time.
I mean,
it's like it's sucking up a big part of your budget.
Absolutely right. So, anyway, it's a again, this is the world we live in now. So the sandbox we play in.
Tough choices.
And yeah, I mean, some of those guys, I think, you know, could be good players. It's just, you know, it's going to be a lot more of a crapshoot when you're bringing them up from a lower level, as we know, you know, as opposed to, you know, a guy like P.J. Haggerty, we knew, like, on some level would be, if it's in the league.
For sure.
He didn't, maybe sure. He wasn't going to be quite that. He ended up exceeding it. But Tyrese Hunter is a great example.
Proven production.
When these guys take steps down, it usually always works. Dane Danger, we knew he was a backup, but we knew he would come in and dominate.
Because of how limited his role was in those spots, right? At Illinois and elsewhere.
You know, this class is a little more like a leap of faith. Like, you're just kind of hoping certain
guys.
Well,
there is no class right now, right?
Well, there is no class, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, Thedford is like a...
Well, the problem.
I mean, you've watched the film, I'm sure.
He's got a weird game. You know, he's shot well.
He's tough. He's gritty. He can shoot the ball well. He's from Memphis.
But it's like, Western Kentucky, though.
He cares
so
about.
It's, like, it's tough, man. I remember.
Man, bring the hometown kids back, man.
I'm fine with that. It's just
such a dangerous game to be hoping for PJ, and then if you don't get him, you missed out on so many of the higher level ones you could have gotten.
Because you're
busy going after. Because you
holding that.
You're in that
right?
holding pattern.
Yeah, no doubt.
So dangerous.
It's tough.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, here's part of the podcast. I read him at the Daily Memphis. He joins us every Friday. I hope by next Friday we'll have a little bit more of a roster to break down, but who knows?
No, that'd be fun.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, I try to FM, yes.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zen Sports, if you're going to be betting, make sure you do it over at ZEN Sports. They got everything. They got NBA. They got baseball. You're into hockey, golf, and some of the best prices out there as well. They've had lots of nice sweepstakes and contests. I'm sure they'll have some more coming up here on the app. But you got to download it to keep yourself updated. Zen Sports, ZEN Sports. Better just got a better gambling problem. Call 1-800-889-9789. So up at ESPN.com, Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps kind of took the temperature of the playoffs and executives' thoughts on certain teams, right?
Yeah.
And I wondered if you would be interested in what they had to say about the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
Them folks some ass. I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. They said, one West executive said, losing Jalen is a huge piece. He's their primary point of attack defender. I'm not sure they have the internal fortitude to overcome what's been thrown at them. They're betting on Ja to be the guy from 2.5 years ago. Everyone is waiting for him to come back, but he hasn't yet. At this point, one West executive said, I don't know if there's a series where Ja will be the best player, maybe against Houston. So.
Yeah, Ja could easily be the best player on the floor against Houston. Last night, he was no lower than second best.
Yeah. But I think the issue is they don't feel like Ja is ever going to be what they thought he would be 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. On somebody who's made up their mind.
Sounds like they talked to you.
I don't know. Haven't you liked this Ja under Isolo? Looks pretty good to me.
I like the grenades.
Seems like it hasn't really
not the grenades.
Taken into account the last few games.
They're not grenades.
It's actually been high level.
No, I mean, honestly, like, I do think he's been, you know, I mean, if he's sharing the court with Steph Curry, if he's sharing the court with Anthony Edwards, if he's sharing the court with Nikola Jokic, no, he's not going to be the best player on the floor. But if it's literally like, you know, anybody else, like, again, not named Luka. I mean, Ja's a top 10, top 15-ish guy in the league. That's what he is. That's what he's always been. I mean, was there a moment maybe where we thought he could be a top 5 guy after Steph and LeBron and all those guys retired? Yes, maybe, but he was still going to be probably behind Luka. He was behind Luka. He was still probably going to be behind Anthony Edwards. Maybe that's what happened. Like, Ant passed him.
I think Ant's passed him in the time. Ja's allowed him to.
Shai Gilgeous passed him.
No question.
You know? But he could still be a top 10-ish guy.
100%.
Now you got Wimby to worry about now. You got Wimby. He's in there. You know?
Was it just one executive asked about Ja?
There were three different ones.
Okay.
Or two different ones, I should say. So that's what they said about the Grizzlies. You want to know what they said about the Nugs?
Sure.
The Grizz opponent?
Yeah.
At some point, you need a new voice, but the front office didn't do a good job of building out the roster the past couple years outside the top guys. I don't like how they drafted. Is it surprising? No, but it's shocking from a timing standpoint.
And yet, Denver, in the eyes of league decision makers, is still capable of making another deep playoff run for one reason. They have Nikola Jokic.
Right.
That automatically gives you a chance.
Yeah, I think Zach Kleiman would ever even sniff making a call to Mike Malone, right? A guy that pushes back like he does.
No.
In terms of for potential head coach. Right. I didn't think so.
You don't get autonomy here. And if you're a guy like Mike Malone anybody like that, you know, it's just not going to be a fit for you. You know, plus you got to, you know, everybody ain't cut out to coach Ja. Right. I mean, that's just the truth.
Well, he could push, though, too hard.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parthu Padgett. Thanks to Anthony Sain for joining us. Jeffrey and Company up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.